From the heart of our nation's capital, this is Washington Watch Weekend Edition. Now, here's your host, David Salkeld.
This week on the Weekend Edition of Washington Watch, Congress redefines marriage, a mandatory budget needed during a lame duck session, and we refute false claims from defenders of the Disrespect for Marriage Act. Greetings, fellow patriots. I am David Salkeld, and I'm a constitutional conservative, Christian husband, and Reagan Republican. Earlier this week, the House of Representatives passed the Disrespect for Marriage Act, and it's expected to be quickly signed by the president. Many conservatives stood up on the House floor to caution their colleagues about the dangers of this legislation. Here's a clip of Representative Mary Miller as we begin this segment.
This bill only serves to further demonize biblical values by establishing a private right of action against organizations who believe in natural marriage, opening the floodgates for predatory lawsuits against people of faith. The bill's only purpose is to hand the federal government a legal bludgeoning tool to drive people of faith out of the public square and to silence anyone who dissents.
That was Missouri Congresswoman Vicki Hartzler, also the chair of the Values Action Team in the House. She and many others spoke out, giving warning to what this bill would do. Joining me now to discuss this and more is Congresswoman Mary Miller of Illinois. She represents the 15th Congressional District of Illinois. She also serves as a member of the House Education and Labor Committee. Congresswoman Miller, welcome back to the program.
Good afternoon. It's always an honor to be on here with you.
Thank you. It's always good to see you. I'm going to just ask you right off your thoughts on Congress today approving this measure that takes the Supreme Court's redefinition of marriage and puts it into federal law.
Right. Well, I join your disappointment and our viewers' disappointment in this egregious attack on our First Amendment rights. And, you know, I think the fact that they rejected in the Senate Senator Mike Lee's amendment to protect churches, religious organizations, and individuals who hold differing viewpoints, they rejected that because their goal is to go after Christians.
Now, there were fewer Republicans voting for it in the House than what we saw back in June when it first went through the House. So clearly, people were speaking to the members of Congress, and some of them were listening.
Yes. It is disappointing, though, because it's such an attack on our First Amendment right. And that's what's, you know, made us stand out in all time of all history above other civilizations and governments is the freedom that we've had, freedom of speech, freedom of religion, and freedom of conscience.
This administration has been attacking all things faith, family, and freedom. And I want to go to a topic that you have been very focused on in your role on the Education Committee. The Biden administration had created this, what they called a parents group to be advocates for parents. It was a front. But this week, after pressure, the Department of Education is disbanding this newly created National Parents Council after legitimate parents groups actually filed suit. You were at the center of this. Tell us about this.
Yes, well, it's the continuation of the Biden administration's attempt to silence and intimidate parents who are accurately and rightfully defending their children. And they want to know what's going on in their children's schools. And Biden has been using the Justice Department, the FBI, the National School Board Association, and others, and now forming this committee to, like I say, silence and intimidate parents. But I think the glorious thing about what has transpired is it's shown the power of the people, that refuse to sit down and shut up. And I am so grateful to you parents, to you parental rights groups, and to the lawyers that are defending them, and that we had a victory there. It lasted about as long as the disinformation board that they created.
Yeah, the National Parents and Family Engagement Council is what they had called it. But because of these lawsuits, these parents groups, they're disbanding it. But I want to go to what you just said. It's very similar to the disinformation board, which the Department of Homeland Security put in. They got all the same type of pushback and they said, oh, wait, we're not going to do this. But we found out they went ahead and did it anyway.
Yeah.
So is there concern that they may go ahead with this quasi-parents group to provide cover for what the Department of Education is doing?
I don't know about that. That remains to be seen. But I do have to say, I tell people all the time, if they could, they would. And we can never rest because they're not going to quit. And they're after our freedoms, they're after our children. And I think it's showing us how important it is that we're fully engaged in what's going on in our children's lives. And, you know, we should demand transparency in the schools and accountability. I mean, we've seen what's happened in Loudoun County. That is insane that they are trying to hide the facts. A rape occurred and then they transferred the student. They didn't notify the parents in the new school where the student had been transferred. I mean, this is crazy, and parents should be on fire mad.
Right.
And I just want to encourage people to run for school board and support other parents that have the courage to run.
Well, Loudoun County,
if you're not going to run, support someone that does.
Yeah, Loudoun County, as you mentioned, is actually a good example of what is bad, but also what is good in terms of parents getting involved. We talked about earlier in the week, we were discussing the special grand jury's report that was unsealed. 92 pages, 25 pages of report and supporting documentation. Yesterday, as a result of this report and the agitation and the persistence of parents, the superintendent there, Superintendent Ziegler, was fired by the school board. He's the one that lied about the sexual assault that took place in the bathroom.
Yes, he was. And I think what we're seeing is a fire that's going across the country where parents are waking up and getting involved and finding out what's going on in their schools, showing up at school board meetings and wanting to have transparency of what's the curriculum is, what books they're using, what's in the library. And cases like this are so egregious. And I'm appalled at how long it's taken for him to be, to be exposed. And it's just way too long.
But the parents were persistent and it happened.
Yes.
And that's persistence is the key, because you know this.
Yes.
They will try to block you. They will stall. They will do everything they can. You're an example of that persistence. Mary Miller, great to see you today. Thanks so much for taking time to join us.
Always great to be here. Thank you.
Congresswoman Mary Miller of Illinois. She is a great lady, fights hard for the things that we believe in on Capitol Hill. All right, coming up, the House of Representatives passed the National Defense Authorization Act today, but not without some drama. We're going to talk about it next here on Washington Watch. Don't go away. A lot more straight ahead.
After the long election season our nation just went through, many Americans are ready to shift their focus to celebrating with loved ones. But we must remain vigilant. At Family Research Council, we knew leftists and squishy Republicans would use the distraction of the holidays to push through legislation that undermines biblical principles. With your timely gift, you can help us prepare to counter the left's agenda in 2023. This holiday season, partner with FRC by texting GIVE to 67742.
Welcome back. Merry Christmas. This is Washington Watch. Glad you have tuned in. And if you'd like to be a partner with the Family Research Council to make sure that Washington Watch continues, as I mentioned before, we receive no government money, no advertisers, only folks like you who support us. And you can do so today, and your gift will be doubled if it's given by the end of the year. You can call our folks that are standing by to take your call, 800-225-4008. That's 800-225-4008, or you can go to TonyPerkins.com. All right, as I mentioned earlier today, the House of Representatives passed the National Defense Authorization Act, getting the $800-plus billion measure off to the president. Some Republicans... I also got to go to the Senate. Some Republicans are claiming the bill is a win for them as it contains language ending the COVID shot mandate for military service members. It does not, however, reinstate service members previously dismissed for not getting the jab. Joining me now to discuss this year's NDAA is Mike Brest, who covered this as a defense reporter for the Washington Examiner. Mike, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you for having me.
Okay. So the NDAA passed today with the House approving actually $45 billion more than what the president requested. This now goes to this. It's got to make one more stop at the Senate. Is that correct?
That is correct.
So give us there was some drama surrounding this. Tell us about it.
So it's important to know that this is must-pass legislation. This is legislation that is passed every year for about 60 years now. And so some years are more contentious than others, obviously. And we saw, you know, a moderate amount of contention this year. And we heard a number of different debates. And one of the big things that is relevant with this specific NDAA is that, as we know, right now, Congress is being led by Democrats, but in a couple of weeks, come the new year, it'll be a Republican-led House. And so given that nature, the Republicans had a little bit of leverage in what they wanted to see done, combined with the fact that the way they passed this legislation required two-thirds of the vote. So there was overwhelming support for it with the compromises that they were able to reach.
Now, Mike, as I mentioned, this it does stop the vaccine mandate, but it does nothing for those members who were forced out. So this has been an issue for many in the Senate, conservative Republican members of the Senate. Could it run into some obstacles in the Senate?
I think it's always possible that some, you know, 11th hour hurdles could come up. But at the same time, it does seem at this moment that this is a compromise that both sides have been able to get behind. And it's important to know that we are talking about a very small percentage of the armed forces. DOD reiterated earlier this week that over 95% of the armed services have been fully vaccinated. And so while we hear numbers that are in the thousands, they really do represent, you know, 1 or 2% of the entire military.
The bill almost got a little sideways because Democrats were wanting to attach through a rule a vote on the John Lewis Voting Rights Act. How were they able to negotiate and navigate through it? Was that the supermajority vote that was required?
So that's part of it. Between both parties, especially members who are actually not on the Armed Services Committee, oftentimes bring up a number of different proposals that they want to see brought into the bill. And so this was just one of those examples. There are plenty of them. We saw the vaccine mandate come up last year in negotiations, and there were, you know, rumors at the time that that could be on the table. Ultimately, it didn't, and now it is this time around. But it's part of the nature of how a must-pass bill goes back and forth between the two parties.
There's not that many measures that are must pass, meaning that, you know, for things to continue, it has to happen. We see this. We'll see this with the CR coming up, the continuing resolution. Unlikely they're going to get the support they need for omnibus. Maybe they will. I don't know. But they've got to at least get a short term funding probably to get there. That's one of those measures people like to attach things to because they have to pass. I think we're going to see a lot more of that in the next Congress, especially in the next NDAA, when the Republicans have control of the House. I think they're going to be using that a lot more to push forward pro-military policies that they would like to see into law.
I think that's very possible, and we've heard some inclinations or some indications that that could be the case. I do think it's also interesting you brought up the point of a continuing resolution, because we've heard from a number of DOD officials who have said, including Secretary Austin, who has said a continuing resolution is not good enough because a continuing resolution continues funding at previous levels, and DOD has, like they do many years, increased its funding so that they could continue to do new programs. And so a continuing resolution would put those things on hold and just keep funding at the current levels.
In talking to a number of Republican members, more on the conservative side of the ledger, they don't want to give up that ability to fund the government in the next year once they're in the majority in the House, because that's one of the few tools they have to rein in the Biden administration.
Absolutely. And so it really is sort of a push and pull situation where, as you mentioned, Republicans have talked about using this to their advantage. And the problem is, to get to that point, it would require a CR, which, as I said, Secretary Austin has been pretty, publicly against.
But he was also against the lifting the vaccine mandate, and that didn't seem to make a difference.
Absolutely. Both Secretary Austin and President Biden said that they still supported the vaccine mandate. Now, there are some Democrats who have come out and said that they don't think it's necessary anymore, which is why they are willing to compromise on it. But only time will tell to see how that rift will continue to grow as the NDA goes through its process and as this policy in particular gets lifted and the effects of it move forward.
All right. Very good. Michael Bress, thanks so much for joining us today. Appreciate your insight.
Thank you for having me.
You can find out more about Mike Bress and the NDAA when you go to TonyPerkins.com. That's TonyPerkins.com.
Today, there are countless news outlets and so much opposing information. It can be hard to find a source you can really trust. This is why Family Research Council created the Washington Stand, an online daily news outlet that provides news and commentary on the biggest issues of the day, all written from a biblical worldview. Find credible reporting at WashingtonStand.com so that you know how to stand firm in our day. Again, stay informed by visiting WashingtonStand.com.
Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm David Salkeld. On Thursday of this week, while some were actively defending their vote against traditional marriage, Senator Tom Tillis of North Carolina was making what we believe are some false statements about the legislation. Joining Family Research Council President Tony Perkins to refute some of his claims is our own Vice President of Policy and Government Affairs, Travis Weber. Here's how Tony introduced the topic.
You know, Proverbs says don't argue with a fool. But then sometimes it says you're supposed to rebuke a fool. And so I think we need to address the false statements that are being made by these members of Congress. Because some of you are coming back to us and saying, wait a minute, you said this and this is what they said. And so fair enough, we're going to take what Senator Tillis, and he kind of spearheaded this issue for the Republicans. And quite frankly, he shouldn't be in the Senate, not from the state of North Carolina, not as a Republican. He completely sold out conservatives in being the linchpin that made this bill happen. He did. And if you live in North Carolina, man, it's a great state, but you have a horrible senator, quite frankly. You have two of them, really. One of them's leaving. Burr, he's retiring. He is actually being replaced by a good senator. But I've asked Travis Weber to join me, and we're just going to dissect this information, this disinformation that Senator Tillis has put out about the Disrespect for Marriage Act. Travis, welcome back to the program.
Thank you, Tony.
I don't know if you've noticed, but this is really irritating to me. I don't think these senators and these members of Congress who voted for this realize what they're doing to this nation by taking the institution that God created and redefining into law what God has called an abomination.
Yeah, it's a tragic day, and Senator Tillis' attempted defense of his position is shameful. I read through what he's sending to constituents trying to defend his position on religious freedom, and I have a piece up at the Washington Stand dissecting it. The most ridiculous claim is his attempted response to the question, did you support Senator Mike Lee's amendment? He goes on to say, I supported Mike Lee's amendment. The amendment failed, and it would have protected religious freedom. At pretty much end of his response. And my analysis of that, Tony, is we know he could have taken the position that unless the amendment was in there, he's against the bill. He doesn't address that. He just tries to make it look like he's defending Lee. But then, by the way, he also supported the current text of the bill, which is insufficient. And as I explained, the Lee Amendment would have protected all these entities he's now thrown under the bus, trying to make it look like he's not throwing them under the bus. But there's a number of points in here in which he is trying to defend this as supportive of religious freedom.
Let me take some of this. Okay, so in his letter back to constituents who reached out to him, he says, a key reason why I worked to amend the Respect for Marriage Act was to ensure that federal law expressly acknowledges that people of good faith could disagree about marriage, and that federal law protects religious institutions and nonprofits from being forced to violate their beliefs. Okay, first, this would not even be an issue of concern if the bill did not pass. It only passed because 10 Republicans in the Senate, led by Senator Tillis, made it pass.
Right.
So it would not even have been an issue.
Wouldn't have been an issue. This claim that this is robust, I've seen that word elsewhere. Other senators are attempting, somebody's circulating talking points, getting senators to go around saying it's the most robust. It's only robust because it's the only thing that Congress has passed significantly on religious freedom, because the Democrats are blocking legitimate protections like Senator Mike Lee's First Amendment Defense Act. So the fact that this is in a field of one, you're saying it's robust because you're comparing it to nothing. That's what they're doing. That very fact shows we need protections. Furthering the case, he should have taken the position, unless this is in the bill, he's not supporting it.
It would not have been a threat had they not passed the bill.
Exactly.
So they created a problem, and then they said, oh, I've got the solution. But it is an inferior solution. Number one, and he admits here, but he doesn't go on to explain, he said this protects religious institution and nonprofits. The problem with that, Travis, that we've talked about, the First Amendment was not to institutions but individuals.
It's not. And just going back to the robust point, Mississippi's Protecting Freedom from Conscience and Government Discrimination Act is robust. So if leaders want a robust protection, they go to that. They go to the First Amendment Defense Act. To your point, those entities are not the scope of the First Amendment, nor are they even fully protected this.
They are protected from institutions are a collection of people. And as individuals, we have religious freedom, and we can come together in an organization and exercise our religious freedom. But as individuals, what this falls short of, and he acknowledges that the Lee Amendment, in fact, he says the Lee Amendment went further than what we offered by protecting individuals. Well, that's the point.
Yeah, and his refusal to accept that throws Jack Phillips, Baroness Stessman under the bus. It throws everyone else under the bus, including those entities, so religious nonprofits, to be clear. We want to protect them, but this doesn't even fully protect them. It only protects them if they're furthering a religious purpose and in the context of solemnization of marriage. It doesn't protect, as my reading of this, this does not protect a college. It says we have a code of conduct for dormitories between same-sex couples. We don't allow it. They're not even protected.
Only the act of marriage.
Act of solemnization. And no one is asking churches to do that right now.
That is the least threat that we face.
It's not even a threat right now. If someone wants to
I don't think anyone's going to walk into a church and tell a pastor, I want you, you're going to have to marry me and my husband.
They're not doing it.
No.
If they can produce lists of this, we'd look at it. But the threats are the 7 years of litigation after Obergefell.
What I was at the Supreme Court on Monday about with Lori Smith.
Yeah, the 303 creative case, that's an indication of where we've been. It's the type of thing that Mike Lee's amendment would have protected, and the type of thing that Tom Tillis has chosen to not protect. So the attempted defense, it's laughable, but also sad, because this bill's passage of the House today, we're entering a new era, and he helped make it happen.
Right, him, Senator Blunt,
The 12 Republicans in the
Senate. You know, there were fewer Republicans voting for it in the House today, which was the result of, folks, I want to thank you. And that was intentional. We wanted to see the number drop. It did drop because they heard from you. And I know, because I was talking to members every day and I heard it. And so that was, encouraging to a degree. But the fact is, this is going to be the law. It's going to go to Joe Biden, and he will gleefully celebrate it and pass it, just as they danced around Sodom and Gomorrah. He'll be dancing. I'm telling you, folks, as Travis says, this brings us into a new era of the spiritual condition of our nation.
Tony, this is a day that there is a lot happening that we need to be sober about, prayerful about, and our people who have, thankfully, the people who are supporting us, listening to us, have since the summer have sent hundreds of 565,000 emails to their leaders. They have faithfully played a part in this. No matter the result, we've stood for the truth, and that's what we have to do. I was watching Steny Hoyer on the House floor today. Is amazing.
Let me play that clip.
Somehow, we would interpose our own judgment. Denial. Denying that all people are created equal and endowed by their creator, not by us, not by the Constitution, by their creator, with certain unalienable rights. And among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Certainly pursuit of happiness means that you can love whom you choose.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Tony, it's almost like he's trying to stand in the place of the language of our creator and turning it on its head. I mean, that is playing with fire there, making it look like he's appealing to God, and he is sticking his finger in God's eye with this, because they are twisting the language of God on its head.
And our documents of this nation, yeah, and what they were intended to do.
Yeah.
Our documents were intended to have a well-ordered society. John Adams saying our Constitution is for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate for the government of any other. And I know, Travis, you know, we're talking about this, and you know, the left likes to get this, and they're going to mock it and ridicule it. You know what? And that's fine. That's fine, because we are standing on truth. But I do want to encourage our people. As you said, we've responded, we've done what we can, we've changed some minds in this process, but we need to pray. This really does put our nation in our society in a very dangerous place. But remember, and I mentioned Sodom and Gomorrah, and I know that'll send off the heads of the left will explode with that. But you know, God said he would spare Sodom and Gomorrah for 10 righteous.
Yep.
And so I think we need to be praying for God's mercy on this nation and praying that the eyes of those who are pushing this agenda will be opened.
Yeah.
And that they might come to know the truth, that these children will not be led down this path of destruction.
Yeah, Tony, there was a ton of deception on the House floor today, but as I was watching, I realized, you know, Jesus has not given up on those. Jesus wants Steny Hoyer to turn to him and recognize him. And he will have to face him if he doesn't. And that is out of the, we need to call all the attention of all to the reality of the Lordship of Jesus Christ under what he has set forth as his expectation. And so, you know, I don't envy those who are knowingly departing from that and have to answer for it. But it's out of a heart. He wants them to turn.
Right. And Abraham didn't need to, but he interceded. Because he wanted to.
Yep.
Because he had a heart of compassion, just as God has a heart of compassion. And so, yes, our hearts are heavy. We're grieved by this. We're angered by it. Yeah. I think anger is acceptable.
People righteous are going to suffer the consequences.
Our children.
Yeah.
Our children are going to suffer the consequences. But our hearts need to be for mercy for those who have made these decisions. And we need to pray that God would have mercy on this nation. Travis Weber, thanks so much for joining us. Appreciate all the work that you and your team did to try to stop Congress from taking these steps.
Thank you.
Well, unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today. I'm David Salkeld, thanking you for being with us. I look forward to having you back here again next week for the weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins.
Washington Watch Weekend Edition is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com.